from all our foes. Through the crucible unscathed, we passed victorious. Our trumpets pealing the glorious song. Play it, sing it, all hail Biafra. All hail Biafra. We shall always remember all that perished in the struggle for our freedom. All hail our heroes. Our prayer shall be known both day and night.
Fellow Biafrans, welcome to the program this evening. We are very sorry that we are starting this late. We had a number of technical problems, And we want to say a very, very thank you for holding on. And today is very special in the sense that we are remembering with mixed feelings the killings of our brothers and sisters in the northern part of Nigeria. As a matter of fact, this has continued for the past 40, 50 years. And it is very unfortunate that our politicians are not doing anything. And we are holding them to account. Whatever is hidden must come out. Whatever is hidden must come out.
My name is Ucheme Fo.
This evening, I have with me Barrister Imam Mezu and Dr. Gemba. Dr. Gemba is currently doing something outside. He's just putting one or two things together. But I have to start with Barrister Imam Mezu now. Barrister, can you say hello to our listeners, please?
Hello, our fellow Biafrans, our good listeners. We are so sorry for the time we are starting. As Ucheme Fo said, we had some technical glitches which have been rectified. But we are welcoming you back to usual program.
Yes, Barrister, thank you very much. We will not hesitate to say that the entire Igbo nation should be mourning at this particular point in time because of what has been happening against the Igbos, against the people who are the most enterprising, the most industrious among the black race all over the world. Barrister, am I right?
Yeah, of course you are right, because the evidence is there. Of course you're right.
Yes, and so we are mourning our brothers and sisters who have been mercilessly massacred like animals in northern part of Nigeria. And the most worrying aspect of it is that none of our politicians, none of our governors, none of our senators, none of our House of Rep members are doing anything. And it is worrisome. It is gone to the extent that any day, anytime an Igbo person is killed, any day, anytime our brothers are killed, any day, anytime our relatives are killed in northern part of Nigeria, we have just taken it as a normal thing. And we are saying and asking what is happening to us as a people. Barrister, is there anything you can say in this circumstance?
Well, yeah, it has become a norm, as you rightly said, because it seems to me for the past how many years that all this killing has been going on. I was listening to Obasanjo being interviewed by the CNN, telling him that what does he think, that Nigeria will soon divide. He said, no, Nigeria will not be divided. Of course, it's okay for him to say that, because his people are not being killed. They say those who feels it knows it better. It is the Biafrans that have been killed, and this killing didn't start today. It's been there for a long time, and I don't think we have to listen to Obasanjo or Goodluck Jonathan or anybody. They ain't going to do anything for us. They have not done anything for us for the past 52 years. We are joined together as Nigerians. Nothing has been achieved, so it's about time for us to liberate Ucheme Fo.
Thank you, Barrister. Thank you. I remind that we have a number on our website. We thank all our listeners around the world who tune or called in during our broadcast, live broadcast from Australia. We are back from Australia now, and we are continuing our normal broadcasting. If you want to contribute to this program, call the number on our website. It is +447916752059, +447916752059. Barrister, it appears we have a caller on the line. Hello, this is Radio
Hello. Bira.
Where are you calling from? Can you give us your name, please? Okay, one for Ganiru.
I'm going to try this medicine. I'm going to live. on Thursday and Saturday.
No, we have we are live on Thursday and Saturdays, but today we have been having some technical difficulties. Are you listening to us from the website? Okay, we have been having difficulties connecting on our website. So we seem to have got our head around it now. So we can go ahead and make your contribution.
Okay.
Are you not listening to your voice on our website now? Hello?
Hello?
In our new Onugina website now.
Mba.
Okay. It appears we still having this difficulty. We're actually doing a program now and
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead and say what you want to say.
Some rough ways or some obstacles, but at the same time, all determination. Just like our leader, more danger. Who not there is, okay, to all the career on the body like that, yes, opening. But most of the time, we don't really know with that time. We only make it for the interest of we, the Hebrews. Some people are trying like that. So, you know, I'm not in the middle of the year. Sometimes people may even. Some people really came out all the right thing, they just ask for another thing. So I went to a new map, you do the first time you listen this, sometimes when I only get it, sometimes I cry,
Hello? It appears, Barrister, you heard what our brother was saying? He was talking about his happiness about how the program is going.
Well, to be honest, you see, I always advise our callers that for the interest of the public and those who do not speak Igbo, it is okay and it would be better for our people, our callers, to speak English. Because to be honest, I did not gather all that he was saying. So if Uchem, before you can actually update me.
I think yeah, we have stressed the importance of using English language.
Yes.
During our broadcast, but our people, our listeners, the greater percentage of our listeners are saying that we should allow them to use the language of their choice. I think it is our duty to translate it to people who are also, you know, not understanding the language, in this case, Igbo. So I think what we have to do is to give them that freedom of choice. But when we are talking, we have to use English language in order to get across to a wide spectrum of our listeners. But we do not have to, you know, compare them to speak in any language at all, any language of their choice. They can still speak in Igbo and repeat it in English. I think it's still acceptable.
Yeah, Uchume, as far as you are in a position to explain to non-Igbo speaking callers, then that's fine. But if you are engaged with those who speak Igbo and those who do not speak Igbo do not understand what they are saying, I hope you'll be in the position to explain it in English. Because if it's not explained, most of the things we are talking here will be half hazard for those who do not speak Igbo. So while you encourage those who do not speak Igbo to carry on to speak those who do not speak English and they speak Igbo and then be able to translate to those who do not understand Igbo, that is fine. But if you are not able to do that explanation, then there's no need for our callers to speak in Igbo, because we are on international program here rather than Igbo dialect. I won't subscribe to that anyway.
Well, yeah, I respect your opinion, but this is open to debate. I think there are a number of people that have come in and made complaints about the need for them to speak Igbo, that they want to speak Igbo and we don't allow them. So, just like I've said, my opinion is that people should speak in the language they want. If they like, they can still repeat it in English, but for the benefit of our non-Igbo speaking audience, we can still repeat in English. Dr. Egemba is now in the studio. Doctor, can you say hello to our listeners?
Hello, listeners, our fellow dear friends, wherever you are in the world. I have this pleasure to join in the debate and welcome you to the program.
Doctor, thank you very much. You heard what we are saying about Igbo language.
Yes. My only contribution is to a certain extent, agree with what you said, and I also have sympathy with what Barry Summers is saying. Our people, they know that this is, Radio Biafra London, Radio Biafra, and they have the right to call in and express themselves in any language they understand. Why I will support anybody calling in and speaking in the language of their choice is this. Not only Igbo people are listening, people all over the world are listening. Not only Igbo people are Biafrans. We have Biafran nation is a multilingual and multi-ethnic, multinational nation. Now, I will want an ethnic person, an Anan person, Ibibio person, Kalabari, any language you can speak in Radio Biafra. If you understand and can speak any Biafran language, call Radio Biafra and speak in your language. Even if it is one or two or three people of your nation and nationality that hears, they will say, oh, they will be identified with the Biafran nation. Say, oh, this is my radio station. I own ownership to it. So this is what we are talking about. Even if it is only one or two people, somebody somewhere listening to us will pick it up. Yes, the point they are trying to make or the address may be lost in the translation, but their brother somewhere will pick it and be associated. They say, oh, this is my national radio station. This is a Radio Biafra. I am part of it. They have spoken to my language. They have spoken to me. I am understanding them. I am identifying with them. That is the aspect of it I'm coming from. So, if you ask me, I will say, please, if you are from Efik, if you are from Anan, if you are from Ibibio, if you are from Ijo or Kalabari, whichever language you want to call and speak. Even if we don't understand, speak and make your point. Somebody somewhere will understand, pick it up, translate and say that, yes, this person is condemning us, or this person is not condemning us. That is my own position on this language matter.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Barrister. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, Dr. Egemba, you see, all the explanations, and I wouldn't want our callers to direct what we do here in Radio Biafra to an extent. We will tell them what we are planning to do. And what we are planning to do is to actualize Biafra. We are not here for a specific kind of language program. If every person calls here, we are not wanting another Efik to reply, because we are not talking Efik to Efik, Igbo to Igbo. What we are doing here is for those who are supposed to help us move the goalpost to understand our language here. We are not here for a language culture. We are not here for Efik or Ibibio or Anang. We need to speak a central language that everybody will understand, so that we will achieve. After the achievement of what we are after, then language divide or language division could be brought in.
A language program.
Excuse me.
Right.
So most people that are associated with are not Igbos. When we sit aside, for example, I hear the broadcast going in Igbo, it's like a mockery. If we say we are Biafrans, as you rightly said, Biafra is not only Igbo. Although most of the time we always say Igbo, Igbo. Biafra is not only Igbo. The only language that unites all Biafrans, English. When we realize what we're after, then we can go in any particular language we want to speak. For now, we have the purpose, and that purpose has to be realized, and we have to implement it.
That's a point there. I share that as well.
I understand what Barista is saying. So, but at the end of the day, what this thing is pointing out is pointing to is that if we have to have Igbo language program, or in Efik language, or Ibibio language, or any other, this has to be sponsored.
Exactly.
People who speak that language, people who are professionals in the area, can come up and volunteer. So what we are doing here, as a matter of fact, we have limited resources to entertain everybody. So, Barrister, I take your point on. Doctor seems to be concurring as well.
Yes, I do.
And I cannot be the only one left out.
No, sir. let's go ahead.
Yeah, I agree as well. Mm. So, for let's put it this way, for purposes of serving everybody, Radio Biafra is limited in resources. We do not have enough resources to do Igbo language program or Efik
or other Biafran languages.
If people are interested in these languages, they should come up and sponsor it, because Radio Biafra is
been undergoing difficulties of immense proportion since 2009.
Yeah, 2009, and on this occasion since April last year,
yes,
isn't it?
April last year. And since then, the people sponsoring Radio Biafra have been all of us here. We are working, we go to work, we come back, we put in whatever resources we have.
Until lately, when our brothers from around the world, and more especially our brothers from Australia, come into our rescue, we remain grateful to them all.
So, the same way these are brothers, you know, we remain grateful to them, have come to our rescue. We are also asking everybody to come and do something. If we must want and achieve Biafra, you must put in something. Biafra
gefugife.
If you want Biafra, if you want something good, you must sacrifice something. You must put in something. So if you want to make Radio Biafra to go places, if you want Biafra, Republic of Biafra to come, you must sacrifice something. We have to move on to another topic. We said earlier that the entire Igbo nation should be in mourning now because of what has been happening to the Igbo race in Nigerian Federation. They have been killing us since 1945 up until date. Nobody has come out to defend us. Nobody has come out to speak for us in a country we call our own. It was Ujuku, the late Ikemba of Nnewi, the People's General, that took the boldest step of a generation to defend us. He stood up at a time when everybody was deserting, you know, everybody was, you know, not in position to do anything. He sacrificed all he had. He sacrificed his father's wealth. He sacrificed everything, his comfort, to make sure that the Igbo race, the Biafran race, all ethnic nationalities in Biafra are preserved. Until date,
nobody has been able to bridge the gap. Nobody has been able to step into Ojukwu's shoe. And we remain grateful to him.
Our so-called politicians and governors and Igbo leaders of thought are doing nothing. Are we now saying that we will follow them and keep quiet?
If you are just joining us, this is Radio Biafra London, And we apologize again to all our numerous listeners, friends of Biafra, Biafrans all around the world, that we're having a bit of technical difficulties today, and we will make it up. But all irrespective of whatever the enemies are doing to make sure that this broadcast does not reach far and wide, we still soldier on. This is the spirit in Radio Biafra. This is the spirit of Biafra. We come back to you after this interlude. And this is a special dedication to all our fallen heroes and heroines of Biafra who lost their lives during the war, including men, women, and children. We are saying today that we will never forget you. Your memory remains with us. Your memory we will never forget. We will continue to honor you. Your sacrifice is not in vain. To your family members who are still surviving till date, we stand shoulder to shoulder with you, and we are calling upon you never to waver, never to lose hope. Together we are going to achieve Biafra. We will never forget. We will never leave anybody behind. We also remember those who have been massacred recently by Boko Haram in northern part of Nigeria. Of course, we know that the people who are sponsoring this are the politicians from the northern part of Nigeria, politicians and governors of the northern part of Nigeria. We are telling you that you will never escape justice. Time is ticking. Time is ticking. We are telling all Biafrans, wherever you are, all Igbos, wherever you are, defend yourself. Find any means to defend yourself while we wait for this justice. Yes, so we are enjoying all our brothers and sisters living in the northern part of Nigeria, that there is no future for you in northern part of Nigeria. Not to talk of Nigeria, there is no future for Biafrans in the north. There is no future for Biafrans in Nigeria. There is no future for the Igbos, the Bibios, the Efiks, Anang, all Biafra nationalities. There is no future for you in Nigeria. Not to talk of living in the northern part of Nigeria, where you are being massacred like animals, we enjoin all our Igbo brothers and sisters who are currently and still living and defending tenaciously the merit of staying in northern part of Nigeria, that you have chosen to be there. Of course, we know that relocation is not easy, but we are telling you that life is more important. We also have it on good note that the governor of Kano State has recently released about 25 names of the victims of the Kano bombing. And out of these 25, only about 5 people are Igbo names. The rest are the Hausas and people from that area. And we are saying that this is what Nigeria is made of. This is a total lie, total concoction. They are trying to tell the international community, the world, that Boko Haram is targeting everybody. That Boko Haram is targeting Northerners as well. We are saying it is a lie. We are asking the Ohanaeze Ndị Igbo, all Igbos living in northern part of Nigeria, all Igbo sympathizers, all people that are in position of authority in Eastern region, to live up to your expectation, live up to the expectation, go to the northern part of Nigeria, make sure that all the names of people who are from the eastern part of Nigeria killed in the Gobsing, luxurious bus or coach, as anybody may choose to call it, are named. Make sure that all the people that are killed, that the manifesto are handed over, the family members of the victims of this ignominious act should come forward and call Radio Biafra and let us know the name of your relative, the names of your relatives that are affected, including those who are injured, including those who are dead. It is very unfortunate. The Kano State governor and the politicians in northern part of Nigeria are doing this because they know that nobody is going to talk for the Igbos, because the Igbo politicians are busy, you know, concentrating on their own businesses, trying to maximize whatever they can. You know, they are not sensitive to the plight of the people. The governors have not done anything. Rather, they will find a way of making sure that nobody is talking. We at Radio Biafra are saying that we will not keep quiet. Very soon, we will begin the implementation of all we are saying. The people's anger is raging. Nigeria cannot hold whatever is going to happen. Nigeria cannot contain it. Just like what happened in 1966, people are angry. A lot of atrocities, abomination have been committed against the people of the eastern part of Nigeria and are still being perpetuated today with impunity. It is very, very unfortunate.
It is absolutely unthinkable, and our listeners will not expect Radio Biafra to keep quiet in the face of the massacre, the near genocide, the planned execution, planned and executed plan to eliminate our people from the face of the earth. People in the press are saying it is not only Igbo people that were killed in the bombing. Fair enough. What you will ask yourself, for people, the non-Nigerians, I have not been to the north, I must admit, but the understanding, which is also my understanding, and the general agreement, is that Sabongare is a non-indigenous quarter in Kano State in Nigeria, where non-indigenous, that is people who are not from Kano State, who are non-Hausas, who are non-Fulanis, are sort of segregated and a different quarter, a different region, a sort of an enclave carved out for them, separated if you like, call it apartheid. The only thing is that it is not called apartheid. Apartheid in South Africa was a different terminology. People knows what it is all about. The whites don't want black people, and they try to keep them apart.
Yes.
But here, you have people from the same country, people of the same race, people of the same, well, not the same ethnic and not the same lingual and the religious group found themselves, but they are in the same country. They are supposed to be the same citizen of one country, under one united Nigerian nation, under one flag, one president, one currency, everything supposed to be one. But in a state, sort of like a region, then within that region, you have an area carved out for non-indigenes of that state, which is they called Sabongare. And it happens that majority of the people who occupy this non-indigenous area are Igbos. Hence, majority of the people who were killed on Monday as a result of this bomb blast were more than 80% Igbo people. So, the fact now remains, how come, if we say that it is Igbo people that were targeted and killed, we are not far from the truth. You can
take this call.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is Radio Biafra. What is your name and where are you calling from? It appears we have lost him.
Okay. So, what I was saying is that now that an area was carved out and our people, it happens that majority of the people who live in this so-called foreigners' quarter, non-indigenous quarter, are more than 80% Igbo people. Hence, the majority of casualties were Igbo people. Hence, the they will call it luxurious bus in Nigeria, but generally it is a coach. They call it in different countries. They call it different things, luxurious buses, coaches, the intercity service buses. Now, they were all with southern bound. That is, they are going to the various cities in southern Nigeria, in the east, in Port Harcourt, Were, Lagos, and so on and so forth. And majority of these people who boarded this bus or who are boarding this bus, supposed to board this bus, are all Igbo people. So it is convenient, not just convenient, it is not far from the truth to say that the Igbo people were targeted. And all this while, Muslim and the Boko Haram has been targeting Igbo people.
Yeah, let's take this call. Let's try this call. Somebody is calling us on Skype. Hello, this is Radio Biafra. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Okay, please, press Chris, calling from Senegal.
Okay, Chris, how are you doing? How is Senegal?
I try to get the Biafra tonight, but I don't have my computer, but I can't get it. I boost online.
Yes, it appears we're having some technical difficulties, and we were not able to reach out to the whole world this evening. Sometimes it comes on, sometimes it goes off, but we are trying to get our head around it. But for now, we're actually doing a program, and but people are not hearing. Can you go on?
Pardon?
Yeah, we have lost him. We have lost him. So, What we are saying, in essence, is that the Igbo race is not wanted in Nigeria. The Igbos who have gone to the northern part of Nigeria, to other parts of Nigeria, to develop those areas. Anywhere you have a bush, any undeveloped place, anywhere that is not useful, that has been forgotten, you can give an Igbo man that place and he will develop it. That is what the Hausas, that is what other parts of Nigeria, people from other parts of Nigeria notice about the Igbos. They make something out of nothing. And this is what has been happening. This Sabongari you're talking about It was the Igbo that made it how what it is today. And it is very unfortunate that these people, ranging from Ahmadu Bello, who in fact obviously laid the foundation for discrimination of Igbos, for discrimination against the Igbos, for disempowerment of Igbos in every place of authority in the northern part of Nigeria. This is a card that has been laid down by him, and his followers are doing it up until today. They are trying to execute that script, and it is not something that anybody should be surprised about. But the question is, why are our people stay in northern part of Nigeria where they are not wanted?
We will be back shortly.
We're good to brother.
I know where he.
Ejio.
Echo to the sister.
Aya Danaba.
Echo to the sister.
Oside umu Igbo umu Biafra kedifa anyi na eme na ani onye ozo kedifa anyi na eme na ani onye ozo abandon property obukwa ni ife na elum obukwa no the next thing ga emekwa ndi Igbo ka anyi malukene na ife umu Igbo. This is the problem with us. We cannot continue to develop the land of a foreigner. We cannot leave our own land and go out and be developing other places. As I'm talking to anybody, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, the fact which we force, you know that many times people have been reminded to move away from the north and go home. And most of the excuses are, most of them are well rudimented in the northern part of Nigeria. Most of them are born there. Some of them have built the houses and stayed there, you know, without even thinking of moving elsewhere. So because of the situation that is currently affecting them, they are finding it very difficult, absolutely hard to leave the northern part of Nigeria to move back to the east. And this is why some of them have been killed. And for those who even wanted to relocate, where will they start from? Some of the houses have been burnt down. They don't have the particular finance to start life afresh. So I do empathize with our people, most of, and or if you like, some of them who are well established in the northern part of Nigeria. They don't have the headway to move on. Hence, we are still struggling and trying to see if we can bring about Biafra. The problem and the dilemma they face, as I can see, and as I've spoken to some of them who are still in the north up to today. One, they say that food is very cheap there. Some of them there don't pay for school fees. The cost of living is absolutely reduced, unlike when you go to the east, everything is hyped up and everything is expensive. So these are the reasons why some of our people are still there. But unfortunately, life or the cost of living is cheap in the northern part of Nigeria, but it's costing their lives. They are dying for the sake of staying in the north in order to have a good free life. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if you lose the entire world or you gain the profit of your life and then lose its meaning?
So in essence, the Igbos prize economic interest
more
over their own lives.
That's correct.
Even when they are in danger.
That's correct.
That's what I think.
Yes and no. I may sound a little bit, I don't want to use the word controversial, but it may, some people may understand it that way. Take it from a different angle. And I must admit here that I have never crossed River Niger towards the north so that people will know where I'm coming from, so that I don't have any interest whatsoever. The northerest or the farthest north I have been is the few days I spent in Abuja. That's the farthest I have been in the north. Quite honestly, I don't intend to go any further north, so that nobody will accuse me of having interest in the north. But let us be objective here. Some people may not feel comfortable about what I'm going to say, but I have to say it. Let us remember that these are people who have been, if you like, conned. They have been confused by believing in the so-called One Nigeria. And they have accepted that and said, okay, we are Nigerians. We, as a citizen of the same country, we can go and live in any part of the country we want, establish, relax, raise family, raise our business, live there, because we are supposed to be one nation, one country, one Nigeria, in quote. So, some of them have raised different generations, one, two. There are some of them who, their children and children are two, three generations. So, they have only known North as their place. Kano, I don't know the names of the cities in the North, so you have to forgive me. So, they have known all these places as their place of abode. Now, if you tell them so, leave Kano, leave North, and start going back to East, some of them don't seem to understand. Although we are saying, oh, it is their economic interest they are valuing more than any other thing, I don't think it is only economic interest. Some of them say, listen, this is where I was born. This is where my children are born. I don't know any other place. This is my surrounding. This is my community. Because they were conned, they were cheated, they were deceived into believing in one Nigeria, but not knowing that the one Nigeria they are holding onto are the same one Nigeria that is causing their life today. Now, these people they call their own fellow countrymen now have formed a group that is turning themselves against the same country they are calling themselves one citizen of. Now, they are now confused. If you tell them to come back to the East, some of them don't even have a place to go in the East. Now, if you say, okay, go to the East, okay, I'm going, but where am I going? I understand that there are some groups that said they send the luxurious bus to bring Igbos home. My understanding, what I have read in the newspaper, and I have spoken to people who are in a position to know, there are more than or up to 3 million Igbos in Kano State alone. Now, how many coaches, luxurious buses, or this thing will you send to bring back 3 million people to the East?
Yeah, it is, Doctor. It is the responsibility of the state government.
Which state government?
Let me finish. It is the responsibility of the state government to provide rehabilitation assistance for anybody that is coming from the North. For instance, we have a lot of people who are in business, they are in trading. Why can't our state governors of Anambra, Enugu, Ebonyi, Abia, Imo, why can't they expand the existing main markets or build new ones in order to accommodate people who are coming from the North? Why can't they map out funds to build rehabilitation centers, to build reception center for our people who may want to come back? The problem is that these governors are insensitive. The politicians are insensitive. They don't want to know. They are after their own. Now, what is happening in the North is not just the so-called Boko Haram in quotes that are doing this thing on their own. The northern governors, the politicians, are sponsoring these people.
That's correct.
They know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. Their aim is complex, is multifaceted. They want to regain power by all means. They want an Islamic state. They want to rule all over Nigeria. Now, the question is, why the Igbo man? Why are they killing ordinary people? If the problem is the federal government, why can't they fight the federal government? If the problem is the governance, the way things are in Nigeria, if the problem is politics, why can't they slug it out during election? Why are they killing the Igbos? Why are they singling them out? For instance,
now, in September 2011, these extremists, these barbarians, these Boko Haram extremists, they went to Madara Market, where about 5 Igbo traders, businessmen, were murdered because they were forced to recite Quran, and they said they're not going to recite Quran. The same year, in December 2011, on 25th precisely, they bombed St. Teresa Catholic Church in Madala, and the Igbos lost at least 80 people in that bombing. In fact, 80% of the casualties there were Igbos, and nobody's talking. Not even politicians were able to raise their voices. Not even the governors of the eastern region were able to raise their voices in timely manner. And this continued in Adamawa State, in Yola. A community was almost wiped out. People from Igbo extraction, about 15 of them, were killed where they were having a town's meeting. And this is very despicable. The Adamawa State government came out to say that these people were not all from Eastern region, that other people were casualties. They tried to mislead people. And in the midst of all this, that our politicians remained silent. They kept mute. Nobody was talking. Nobody was defending all these people. And the ordinary people are suffering. What is happening to us as a people? I don't know. Something is wrong somewhere.
And this has been continuing. Now, they have gone to Sabongere in Kano and did what they did. And nobody is talking. We are hearing that there is mass grave. We are hearing that they have been buried in mass grave. Does it mean that nobody is speaking to this for these people? Why can't our eastern governors square up shoulder to shoulder and confront their own northern counterparts? In Igbo land, we have been saying it, we do not do mass burial. Every individual is given its honor or her honor. Every individual is respected. We do real funeral for individuals, not for group.
Okay.
Why are they violating our culture? Why are they violating our tradition? What is Ohanaeze Ndị Igbo in Kano doing? What is our senators doing? What is our governors doing? What are they doing?
Okay.
What are they doing?
Yeah, let's take it bit by bit. Yeah, you know, Dr. Egemba made some impressions, which I want to delve in very, very quickly before I can answer your question that you posed. I remember when I was born in Lagos, because I'm trying to correct an impression that Dr. Egemba was positioning earlier. There is no indoctrination to any family, to anybody, that you should uphold one Nigeria. No. People move around because of geographical location in economics. You move around where you find green pasture, where things will be easier for you. Most of our people in the olden days moved to Lagos because Lagos was the capital city of Nigeria. Some of them moved to Calabar when Calabar was the capital city of Nigeria. So people move around because of geographical location and for economic reasons. It's not for any indoctrination. Let's put that aside. So Uchemefo, the question you put forward, why are our politicians so reticent and our people keep dying? I think we've touched on this point so many times. The reason why they are reticent is because most of all these politicians that are holding and ruling your people are being, they are being handpicked from Abuja now only to be probably in a pretense that they've been voted in. They are not voted in.
Are they not human beings?
No, they are. They are human beings.
Human beings. Are we thinking like animals?
No, hold on, Uchulofo. They are human beings. But the point here is, they've been bought over. Their souls have been bought by money. They are no longer reasoning like you and I. Because if you and I are in Abuja with thousands of dollars, we will be sitting down here doing Radio Biafra. Most of them, their consciences are gone because the only money is now what is ruling them. Look at how our people are being killed. Put in a river by a police commissioner from the north. If you and I are at home, probably they would have got us arrested us because we are speaking out. Most of them will not speak out because money has already bought their mouth and then their mouths are sealed. So what we should be concentrated on speaking is, now we are abroad. And those who associate with us and the lovers of Biafrans and those who like Biafrans, we are working together in order to achieve, in order to liberate. By the way, Uchebefo, not those in Nigeria will liberate Biafrans. No, it is those abroad. Because while you are abroad, you are able to see over and above those at home. Those at home will be bought by ground rice, bag of rice, money. But nobody can buy you, Uchenofo. Nobody can buy Dr. Egemba. That is why we are here. Because we are above being bought, our souls being traded for our conscience.
I think it's a collective enterprise.
Thank you.
The people at home have work to do. Those in the diaspora have work to do. It is kind of a symbiotic relationship. Everybody must do something. Everybody must do something. It's something. Indigenous people of Biafra, for instance, cannot be governed from abroad. We cannot govern them from abroad. Indigenous people of Biafra should have people at home that govern them, that direct affairs of their daily lives. So, and that is why Bilie Human Rights Initiative has taken unusual step in making sure that things are done the way it should be.
I want to touch on what is the question you posed or the issue you raised about the mass burial or the suggestion. It is actually a suggestion by the state. By Kano State government, that given the fact that most of the people who died in the bombing on Monday were burnt beyond recognition, and for the fact that they cannot be identified, then they are suggesting mass burial. And our people in the north said no, just as everyone knows that Igbo people, we don't have it in our culture, not just Igbo people, there's no part of Biafra land that mass burial is accepted as a way of saying the final goodbye to loved ones. So, that proposal, it is, as at now, a proposal. I want to draw the attention of people, as many people must have come across this or known about this, that the Igbo people in Kano State have declared a 3-day period of mourning for the people that died on Monday, and it was effective from yesterday. So Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, they have set it aside to mourn those people who died. It is after this period of mourning, and is then they will collectively decide on what to do with the body or bodies of people that were killed and unidentified. It is the Igbo people that will have the final say on what will happen to those bodies. It is not up to the Kano State government. As a matter of fact, it is becoming clear that the Kano State government is part of the Boko Haram agenda, and they know what is happening. They probably know what happened
or probably sponsored the suicidal bomber. If that is not the case, how come it even up to 48 hours after what happened in Kano State, the state government did not come out openly to comment or to condemn the atrocities that is committed in their name, in their domot, as they normally say it, or in their backyard?
If your governors and politicians do not say anything, do you expect them to come out and say something?
Fair enough. I don't expect them, but this, remember that this thing happens in their state. The state governor in the Nigerian constitution is framed in such a way that the state governor is the chief security officer in their respective state. So the Kano state governor is the chief security officer. He's supposed to oversee, supposed to know what is happening, take charge of the security of everybody, regardless of whether they are indigenous or non-indigenous. Although they are trying to, Boko Haram is trying to differentiate, although Kano state sanctioned the ethnic division within the state by creating a special separate apartheid regime, separation of a place for non-indigenous. If in South Africa, the word apartheid is given for the racial discrimination. But in Nigeria, it is not called apartheid. They use the Hausa word for it, which is sabongare, that is separate of foreigners, or foreigners' quarter, or non-indigenous quarter. So, for the fact that the state governor, who is the chief security officer of the area, did not come out to condemn what is happening and to offer meaningful suggestion in consultation to the people who are affected. So, if they're coming up to tell us that they are going to carry a mass area without consulting Igbo people, that is not acceptable.
They did not say, they did not do anything, because they know that nobody will defend our people. They know that our politicians are impotent. They are not interested in us. They are not interested in the ordinary people. And so they can do anything they want. If you cannot call your own something, nobody will come out and call it anything. They cannot value it. They can just treat it anyhow. And that is what has been happening. I'm not exonerating them, because we know that they are the devil we must have to fight against. But the problem is that somebody does not want you. Somebody has rejected you. The Nigerian state has rejected you. Will you also reject yourself? That is where the problem is. Barrister, you want to say something?
You've been rejected and continuously being rejected. The problem is not the rejection. The problem is you absorbing the rejection or realizing that you've been rejected. The entire Biafrans are not entirely sure that they've been rejected by the Northerners, because they're being killed, they're being harassed, they're being shipped out on a monthly, daily, yearly basis. So it's up to us to realize and to take it in that these people want to Islamize you, and you said no, you don't want to be Islamized. It's all right, you have to go or you'll be killed. And then some of us that refuse to go have been killed. And those who are still confused, they don't know whether they have to go or whether they have to stay. And then the further they stay, the further they are being killed. So not until they realize that they've been rejected. One thing is for somebody to call you a fool, and another is for you to realize whether you're a fool or not. No, we've been told that we are not regarded. Not even by the Yorubas, no, by the Northerners. But the problem is, we establish ourselves wherever we are. Are we not talking about Ladiko Market and how the Igbo guys, or if you like, the Biafras go begging Fashola in order for him to open the market, because they want to go back into trading? So we are everywhere. We are just like bees. We are everywhere. It was a question that Nnamdi posed. Do we have the Yorubas that open a market in Asaba market, or the houses that open a market in Onitsha market? No, we are not with the Igbos. This mercantile attitude of the Biafrans. Wherever we are, we open up. We don't know whether we are being hated. We don't know whether we are being liked. But of course, the reality has been panning out. The fact is, we are not wanted in that particular country called Nigeria. And it's about how we take stock and say, all right, we have to step back a bit and then take our own counts rather than remaining in the same particular ground that is killing us and digging us and talking about mass burial. Are we talking about Yoruba mass burial? Are we talking about the houses mass burial? No. It's always the Biafrans. The Ijaws, the Igbos, the Calabars, the Akpaibos and all the rest of our people. And all this should stop. And how we should stop is the way we are talking it. And we have to carry on increasing our power.
As a matter of fact, it is rather unfortunate here that each time this type of calamity, each time this type of injustice, each time this senseless, merciless, and atrocious killing is committed against our people in the north, over a period of time, 1 week, everybody will be sober, they will be angry, they will be voicing their disagreement, what is happening with politicians, they will make empty noise. But after few days, few weeks, even now, our people, they have started to preach for peace. Oh, don't allow this this in the action of a very few minority few to discourage you. They will try to preach peace, and as if our people are stupid, they will succumb to it and say, okay, don't worry, it's not going to happen again. All measures will be put in place that it is not going to happen again. They will relax. Then they will think that things are back to normal. Then they will relax. You start to go about their normal, in quote, businesses, their affairs. A week, 1 month, couple of months past of allegedly peaceful coexistence. Then, after that, then they will start again. Then it is a vicious circle. Then the question remains, remember what I said before, I don't want any brief, but I am only trying to think aloud. If you have been born and bred in the north, that doesn't mean that you must die in the north. That's not what I meant. But yes, I admit that yes, you are born there, that's the only place you know, but given the fact that your life is in danger, your children do not have any future, you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, you are constantly living in fear, why can't you think twice? For how long will I continue to live under this environment? Then make a move. Then go back. We are not talking only in the Biafra. If you don't want to go to Biafra land, Biafra territory, eastern Nigeria, maybe you may think of any other part you can go where you can be safe.
Yes,
but
yes, doctor.
The fact remains that right. Any part of northern Nigeria, the 19th state in northern Nigeria that has declared themselves a Sharia republic, in quote, is not safe for any Igbo person who is a Christian. As long as whereas you remain in these 19 states in northern Nigeria, your life is not safe, your business is not safe, your family is not safe. It is high time you start to think alternative ways of
relocating.
If you value your life, you must relocate.
Yes, that is one thing, doctor. You are spot on that. But I'm also asking a question. Don't we have the right to self-defense? If somebody does not want you to exist, if you have opportunity to defend yourself, you have to defend yourself. Why are they killing us? Why are they killing us? The government is not coming to defend us. The government is not interested in protection of its own citizens. Our politicians are not interested in us. Our governors are not interested in us. Igbo leaders of thought are not interested in us. So how can't you defend yourself? Why should you just allow yourself to be slaughtered like an animal? What this thing is tilting towards is a situation where you have people carrying weapons about because they don't know who is chasing them. They don't know what will happen in the next minute. So a situation where I know that somebody is going to kill me, or they have been killing us, they have been killing me, I don't have any protection, I have to look for a way of defending myself. This is allowed under the law.
Yeah, alright, Ochenefo. As you put it in the way that that is moving, but you have to realize that our people, we normally have an adage that says, if you are hated, you cannot pull punches. And I will explain in the proper language. The Biafrans are hated. Wherever you are, whatever you cause, you'll be rounded up. Take an example. The Boko Harams, as I always call them, have been killing, maiming, bombing. None of them have been rounded up by the commissioner of police. Now, look at what happened 2 weeks ago. The police, one of our people who was a top man in Kwara State was traced to Enugu and killed. Now, what did the police do? They rounded up all the young guys and started bailing them for 10,000 naira each. Where on earth has this ever happened in Nigeria? Has it ever happened? No. It's only in Igbo land where you can see an unseen, where things that has never happened before that will happen.
The impossibles
and all the whatever rubbish will always happen in Igbo land. Now, if everybody takes arm and now they want to fight, who do you think will lose?
I want to correct one impression. I did not say let everybody stand up and fight.
You're talking of defense.
Well, yeah, I am not talking about people going on provocative mood. People going to provoke. People going to attack others. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about
retaliation.
I'm not talking of retaliation even. People being able to stand when that attack comes. You defend yourself.
What you are saying in effect, Richard, is that I am in my business,
yes,
I have my premises, exactly, my business premises or my residence, that, and then people brought fight to me,
yes,
in my business premises, in my home.
You can't run away.
There is a barrister, you are a legal person, a learned person. Then the law, both international and local, grant me the right to use anything, everything possible within my reach, within my business premises, within my residence, to defend and protect myself. If in the process of doing that, someone else, which is not me, is injured or killed in the process, so be it.
Now, give me the irony. Doctor, the irony is, let's say, for example, a Boko Haram man was after your life,
right,
and you are first to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the Nigerian government will let you go scot-free because you defended yourself? No, the answer is no.
Yes, the answer is no, but I will go to prison and come out. But meanwhile, someone else is died. Someone has died and not me.
That if they let you to be alive.
But at least someone else has died, not me.
All right.
So I am defending myself. There's one aspect of this I want to point out. This event happened in Kano State. Fair enough, it is one of the 36 states in Nigeria. And we have 5 states in eastern Nigeria. In the so-called southeast.
Southeast.
Then you have another, I think, 5 states in the south-south, whatever the geographical division. That notwithstanding, we also have a president, one figurehead, who is or supposed to be the chief executive officer, supreme commander of the armed forces of the federation, in the name of Jonathan Goodluck. Please, I stand to be corrected. Unfortunately, our phone lines we are not receiving call.
Yes,
I could have said
because we are running out of time.
Okay.
We did not start at the and the schedule.
All right. What I was trying to...
And doctor, just watch it because we are going to close very soon.
Okay. What I was trying to say is I wanted to bring our lesson... let me put it that way, this way, that our listeners to think about it and think aloud here. The president supposed to be the chief security officer of the entire citizen of the so-called federation. I have not heard him make a comment about this. This is something that happened under his watch. He's supposed to be sober. He's supposed to be feel ashamed. As a matter of fact, a one-time former governor of Lagos State has called for his head that he should resign.
Sorry, let me not allow you to continue. I think the president has said something, but
okay.
What he has said is not enough. To say that we condemn this in strongest term possible,
no, no,
it's not enough.
Rhetorical.
He has to move and do something. All those people that are behind the bombing, the sponsorship and all that thing, they have to be brought to book. Already, there are some of them that are in custody. What is the law waiting for? What are the criminal justice system of Nigeria
if I told you have one
mean?
If I told you have
to
one
bring those people to book.
Yes.
They have them in custody. Why can't you try them?
Yeah, sorry Uche, let me come here briefly. If I told you have a judicial system, but remember this is a president who came out openly to say that Boko Haram has infiltrated his government, that he is impotent, he don't have anything,
they are
don't have any clue, they don't know what to do.
Okay, on this note, I think we will have to bring this to an end, and we are not able to take calls today because we had a bit of technical difficulties. We were not able to start this program at the scheduled time, advertised time. And we're sorry for that. We apologize to all our listeners around the world. And we are going to make it up on Saturday or tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah.
We are going to advertise new time for it. If you are just tuning in, if you are just tuning in, this is Radio Biafra. And my name is Uche Mefo. I have with me today Barrister Imam Mezu and Dr. Egemba. We also want to use this opportunity to still extend our greetings and thanks and gratitude to all our brothers in Australia, the Biafra Alliance, for hosting Radio Biafra. This is something that is exemplary in all its ramification. We enjoy all Biafrans to emulate the Biafra Alliance in Australia, who have taken giant steps to initiating the spirit of one the number in the real sense of the word. Doctor, would you want to make a closing statement?
Yes, I wish I've got a little bit more time, but however, it is a pleasure, our fellow dear friends and listeners, wherever you are in the world, for listening to us. Please do not lose faith because of some of the hitches we have had today. The passion is still there. The zeal is still there. We still have a lot to bring to you. Keep faith, keep listening to Radio Biafra, and God bless you wherever you are. Thank you very much.
Barrister Imam Mezu.
Yeah, thanks, Uche Mefo, for today's program. We have really not done that much, but we owe you enough time when we converge on either Friday or Saturday. But we thank you for joining with us, and we pray and hope that those our brothers and sisters who are still residing in the northern part of Nigeria should do their best to vacate and go home, because no matter what you do, life is precious. You can only meet it once. May God bless all of you.
Thank you, Barrister. Doctor, it appears your microphone was low. Can you say goodbye to our listeners again?
Sorry, listeners, if you wasn't catched up, I was just trying to express my gratitude for your time and for keeping faith with us, regardless of all the hitches we have had. Please keep faith and keep on listening and bring more people to listen to us. There is a lot more to come. We will continue until the battle is won. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Gemba. And from me, Uche Mefo, we are saying keep the faith, keep supporting Radio Biafra, keep supporting Bilie Human Rights Initiative, together we are going to achieve the sovereign state of Biafra, which is very, very near around the corner. We don't know the day, but Nigeria is collapsing. Thank you very much, and God bless. Good night.
Past victory.